Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, 5:10 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. School grades are out, and boy, am I frustrated. No, it's not necessarily what you were expecting to hear first thing in the morning, but you should know a little bit about me before we get into this subject, and the little bit about me is, John, do I like math?
You love it.
Yeah. Am I weird in this regard?
Yes.
Yeah. Most people don't.
But I like it too, though. That's the problem.
Most people don't like math. Most people aren't very good at math, it's understandable. You don't like a thing you're not very good at. I really understand that. One of my dearest friends is the owner of the local mathnasium, and she and I talk for hours sometimes about, oh my God, the state of math. You know, like it's that, okay. And if you remember during COVID, what was my biggest complaint about the reporting about COVID? It was that the people who were telling you the things around, for example, the infection rates, the mortality rates, and the trajectories of the disease locally, nationally, by state, didn't really understand science and math very well. And as a result, reporters, you know, people who do my job, okay? I'm a talk show host, I'm not a reporter, but same genre, okay? And my complaint was that people who do this work don't understand math particularly well and don't understand science particularly well. And nevertheless, they're tasked with telling you what's going on regarding a global pandemic that involves, a lot of math and science to understand it. And so I tried to bring you that kind of, bear with me, there's a point here. I know I'm on a digression. But I tried to bring you some of that math knowledge and kind of show you what was going on and understand this stuff from a more mathy perspective. I mean, I actually got a national award for this, for doing math on the radio, which I still think is amazing.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I got my crystal for. Was for or was it the crystal?
Was it?
These words. No, it was a Service to America award. That's right, Service to America award. Anyway, the reason I say all that is because last night I saw that all the school grades had come out, which is the performance evaluation or assessment for all the schools and all the school districts in the state of Florida. And whenever this comes out, you get a lot of reporting, you know, this many A's, this many B's, you know, so many schools did blah, blah, blah. Well, I did a bad thing, it turned out, for me. I started to look into the numbers. And the more I looked, the more irritated I got. Just really irritated. Because if you really look at the data, and sometimes you don't have to really look at it, but even if you look a little bit at the data, you find things that are frustrating. And I'm going to start with the big one, okay? I'm going to start with the one that, if you don't know, and it's very easy to not know, it's going to make you, what's the old CNC Music Factory song? Things that make you go, hmm?
Things that make you go, hmm.
Okay, all right. So they have these categories of performance metrics for schools. There are 12 of them, and there's all kinds of things. There's overall achievement in English and language arts. They're kind of by category, math, science, social studies, okay? Achievement is a metric in 4 of them. Then you have science, social studies, math, and English. Then you have the graduation rate. Then you have how people are doing in the ones that are learning gains overall, learning gains in the lowest 25%. So the worst performing students, how are they doing? How's everybody doing? Grade 3 achievement in English is kind of a weird one, but okay, there's 12 of these categories. And every school scores a certain score on these metrics. And then you add up all of these things and you get an aggregate or a total score. And that total score is, you know, anywhere from like 400 to 700. Okay. Somewhere in this vicinity. But, you know, you get a score. And then as a result of your score, you get a grade. And then overall, every school district gets a grade, you know, a total score of all the other aggregate scores. And, I mean, eventually what you get is a grade, an A, B, C, D, or F grade. Now, most of you went to school, I'm assuming. You know, some of you went home school. Maybe it was a little bit different, okay? But, you know, you went to a school. And in your school, and probably even in your home school, you had a system for figuring out grades. And what was that system, John? If you got a 71, what was your grade?
It was a C.
C, but also minus. A C. You're right, okay? A 70 is a C. That's 69 is a D. 69? 70 is a C. 71, 72, C minus, 73 is a solid C, 78, 79, C plus, right? Okay.
Right.
80 would be?
A B.
Like I said, 90?
An A.
All right, okay. You know the scale.
Yes.
You're familiar with this scale. All right, now you're about to get frustrated.
Oh, boy. Thanks.
And by the way, what I'm about to tell you doesn't take any particular great knowledge at math. This is really, you know, you don't have to, this actually, it was discovering this, which I had not known before. Doing a lot of this I did not know before stuff this last week. I did not know this before, and when I saw it, I'm like, what the Florida? Which is Michelle's. I got to get that cut. It's such a great cut. Here's what I learned. And it's not, I mean, this is not some obscure piece of knowledge. This is like right on the front they announced this to you. Do you know what it takes to get a C as a Florida school on the out of the total number of points you get scale? You would normally say 70%. No, 41%.
But
if you're an elementary school, middle and high school, it's 44%.
Wait, are we using the same numbers?
Well, we are using numbers.
Okay.
We are assigning grades.
Okay.
But we are not using them in the same way we normally do in a school.
Why not?
Well, that's a great question.
I'm like, why not?
I think I know why. But yes, that's a great question, John, because if you are, for example, in, I don't know, let's attend Pensacola High School, okay, and you take a test and you got a 64 on your test, your grade is?
A D.
That's right. And if you go all semester and you get 64, 64, 64, eventually you get?
A D.
A D. If you are the school of Pensacola High School, and you get a 64, as in of all the points that are available to you in the 12 categories, you scored 64% of the possible points, what grade do you get?
Well, by your math, it's an A.
It is an A. It is an A. That's exactly right. 64 is the lowest score you can get and get an A. And I know if you're a teacher or you're an administrator, you're like, Andrew, you're not telling them everything. I'm getting there. Okay, I'm getting there. When you first look at that and you say, wait a minute, the teachers want my kid to get a 90 to get an A, but the school itself only needs to get a 64 to get an A. The what now? And if you get a 34 in, let's say, school life, you get a F. If you get a 34 in school evaluation life, you get a D. If you get a 44, this is high school and middle school because they're a little different from elementary. High school and middle school, you get a 44, you get a C. Real life or school life, you get an F still. Every grade that we're excited about, A, B, C, D, E, and there are very few D and E schools, but D and F schools, but A, B, C, every grade for a school that we are excited about in the state of Florida, you would be horrified about as a parent. Because, let me tell you, the highest scoring school in, and we'll take Santa Rosa County, for example, just because, you know, they're available. And Santa Rosa does a little bit better than Escambia on these metrics, typically, and this year's no exception to that. But if you look at the schools locally, and you look at Santa Rosa County, again, just because, you know, they happen to be here. Actually, back up a little bit. If you look at the counties themselves, because the same system for the counties. A 74 is a raging A, like an A+. In real life, a C. Santa Rosa, which is a very decent school, gets an A. School district gets an A with a 66. 66.
Man, I wish I would have had that while I was in school.
17th out of 67 counties in the state. It's an A. 66%. 62 in Escambia County. You typically think Santa Rosa is really good, Escambia is really bad. I mean, that's the perception, okay? It's not accurate, but it is the perception. Escambia gets a B, 40th in the state, which is below the average, right below the middle point, okay, out of 67. That's not good. A B in this case is not good. 62. 4-point difference. So the difference in scoring between a school district that has a great reputation and a school district that has a unfairly, maybe, but still a pretty lousy reputation is 4 percentage points. That's like your star student and your screw off in class.
Hey, easy.
You know, easy. I didn't say your name. Anyway, okay. Are, you know, separated by 4 points. That's not right. And you might say, well, okay, maybe they've, okay, why is it that, and by the way, the highest in the state is St. John, 74%. Wow. The highest in the state is 74%, which should tell you something, which is that these metrics, it's very hard to get above a 70, very, very hard, which means that when people score a 7, when a school district or a school scores a 70, that's kind of a cause for celebration. That's a big deal. But it's weird to give them these A, B, C, D, F grades because the grades don't relate to what you think they relate to. They're completely different numbers. And this is by state statute is where these, you know, these thresholds are built. Okay, so that's just one problem with the school grades. And by the way, I get it. There's no 80s. So if you said, well, you got to get a 90 to get an A. Well, nobody's getting an A. Now, is that because the metrics are screwed up and we should have different metrics? Because it seems to me like if you're going to do the A, B, C, D, F grading, you ought to have 90, 80, 76, you ought to be the, you know? And then you figure out a scale that calibrates to get that objective because that's what those are supposed to mean typically. Or just come up with a completely different system. I mean, that's fine too. But just don't call it A, B, C, D, F. It's such a misleading system. Here's another problem. Now, this is a problem you're more familiar with. This is the problem of what's the difference between, and I'm ignoring the school grades evaluation now. I'm just talking about the regular, like, in a class. Johnny gets a 69 and Susie gets a 71. Johnny got a D.
Yes. Sorry.
Or a D plus.
Yeah.
Okay. And they don't do plus minus for the state, which they should. And she got a B. Or sorry, a C. Yeah. But it's a 2-point difference. Okay. So, and then Jimmy gets a, what did I say, 71? 79. He also gets a C, but he's 8 points better than, what did I say, Susie? Anyway, and she's only 2 points, but you get that the category itself can be very misleading. And this is one of the frustrations about grades in general is that you might have only barely gotten up over the lip of what you needed to do to break a grade point, but you get the full credit of that grade point unless you do plus minus. And then somebody else who does way more and just barely falls below the next threshold, you guys look the same, right?
Yes.
The blue and the line drive look the same in the box score. Okay, same thing in school. The 79 and the 71, unless you do plus minus, look the same in the box score. Same in school grades. Same in school grades. So a school might improve by 2 points and go from being a C to a B, and everybody's losing their mind with how great this is. Another school goes up by 7 points and stays a B, and everybody's like, why can't you do better? Okay, so that's a problem in the schools. And in terms of understanding what these grades mean. Now, you put all that together, and now all of a sudden when I tell you that, you know, for example, in, let's see, in Escambia County, we have, let's see, 2 A high schools. Well, that includes Pensacola State Charter Academy, which is not exactly fair to include. We have 1 A high school. It's Northview at a 73. Okay?
Just one?
Just one. That's right. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4 B high schools, okay? So that's Pensacola High, that's Tate, that's Washington, and then that's, West Florida is the A. My fault. It's just hard to read the chart. And Northview is the other B, okay? And those are by just variously 60, 57, 62, and 59. So those are D and F scores, you would normally think, but they're all Bs. And in fact, 3 of those schools, and this is why you see this Escambia County public school system bragging, went from Cs to Bs. Woo! Okay. Well, in some cases, like Pensacola High went from a 51 to a 59 and went from a C to a B. I mean, 8 points is a big jump. Okay. You have, for example, Washington went from a C to a B, from a 56 to a 57.
1 point.
Yeah, well, that's the threshold. 57 is the threshold. Now, you see what I'm getting at? Going from a C to a B sounds good, but does it really mean much? Here's the other thing. When you look at these reports, they do you the history of the school, C, B, A, over the years. We had this break a couple of years ago where we stopped doing them, changed the metrics or whatever. But they don't include the numbers. I had to go back and dig up the old Excel spreadsheets from like 2 years ago and 3 years ago and look at them because that's what I did for 2 hours last night. Like, just started to get angrier and angrier about this. Okay. So what's the takeaway? It's not easy to give you an overall summary, and the overall summaries that you are getting are misleading. It's the illusion of information. If you really want to know how the schools are doing, and I'll just take Escambia High Schools as an example, okay? If you take out Pensacola State Charter Academy, because that's kind of a new one, it's funky, it's weird, it's different. If you take that one out, there was a total net plus minus of 20 points. So 7 schools went up by 20 points total. That's good. Okay, that's an average of almost 3 points each. But Pensacola High was 8 of those points, and Northview was 7 of those points. If you take out the outliers, the overall school district only went up by 5 points. And if you average that across those 5 schools, that's a 1 point improvement. So how excited should you be? Well, up 1 point average on the non-outliers is good. I mean, it's a point. It's not bad. But it's not a big deal. And it doesn't sound nearly as good as, well, we had 3 high schools go from C's to B's. Okay, good. That's meaningful. You know, Ferry Pass Middle School went down by 2 points from a B to a C. 2 points. That's what I'm getting at, is these grades, these metrics, this illusion of information is highly unsatisfying when you really start to look at the details because of A, what the grades actually represent, and B, because of the very minute or large shifts that just aren't very well captured in the A, B, C, D, E system. Now, John, you're a math guy. Has this been clear?
Yes, very. And
it's frustrating,
it's
right?
Blowing my mind.
Just because it's hard to know what we know.
Right.
Welcome to my world. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Hi, I'm retired Rear Admiral Kyle Kozed, President and CEO of the Naval Aviation Museum Foundation. You are cleared for takeoff at the National Naval Aviation Museum. From thrilling hands-on experiences to historical insights, the National Naval Aviation Museum is where dreams take flight. Go mach speed in a flight simulator. Let inspiration soar among the 150 beautifully restored aircraft. Remember the moments in the giant screen theater and capture it all in the flight deck store. Visit NavalAviationMuseum.org to plan your visit today.
Tune in today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as Regeneration Station will be discussing how they help relieve individuals with severe pain with their latest in scalar and biophotonic energy room, which can allow cell regeneration, improve immune function, detoxify the body, elevate moods, and assist in balancing right and left hemispheres of the brain to increase energy levels. It's the Regeneration Station on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You don't seem to want to accept the fact that you're dealing with an expert in guerrilla warfare. With a man who's the best. With guns, with knives, with his bare hands.
Here he eats things that would make a billy goat puke. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Hey, good math lesson this morning. All right, David wins
at 5 a.m.
Sure, you know, why not? That's the podcast, newsradio923.com. You can listen later and study at your own pace. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Hold on, my head's still spinning in circles from all the early morning math here.
Good, good. It's basic geometry. You know it's a circle and you spin. Go on.
Always finding the positive, Andrew. The U.S. will be shipping more weapons to Ukraine. President Trump made remarks at the White House dinner with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. This comes after the administration had paused some weapon shipments over concerns that the U.S. military stockpile was being depleted. Sean Combs has a hearing today over possibly moving his sentencing date. Last week, of course, he was found guilty on some charges related to transporting people for prostitution, but acquitted of those more serious charges. And apparently trash is mounting in Philadelphia. There's a strike involving all of their municipal workers. Now entering
day. How could you tell?
Eight.
Sorry, I couldn't not say it. I mean, go on.
So if you're driving past, I don't know, you might smell it, I guess. I don't know. I lost track of what I was saying.
Well, same joke for visual or smell, though, right? Sorry. No.
No.
I'm sorry. Ow. It's not fair. I love you, Philly people. Sort of.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. At least 104 are dead from the horrific flash flooding in the Texas Hill Country, including more than two dozen kids.
The parents who have lost these children, 28 little souls, that indeed is the real catastrophic situation here as they were washed away in the Guadalupe River in the middle of the night on July 4th.
Fox Weather's Robert Ray in Kerrville this morning. President Trump will be there Friday. Last night, the president at the White House having dinner with our most important ally in the Middle East. The topic...
Ending the war in Gaza remains a major sticking point. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is adamant that Hamas cannot continue to govern Gaza.
Fox's Manuel Rivera and Netanyahu surprised President Trump with a formal Nobel Peace Prize nomination during the visit, recognizing Trump's achievements in Middle East peace efforts. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 79 degrees. It is clear and a beautiful morning here in Pensacola. The 2025 school grades are out, of course, in district-wide grades. Santa Rosa and Okaloosa counties earned A's. Escambia County earned a B. Santa Rosa County had 15 schools that earned A's, 9 schools that earned B's, 5 schools that earned C's, and 1 school that failed. Escambia had 16 schools that earned A's, 18 schools that earned B's, 16 schools that earned C's, and 3 schools that earned D's. Okaloosa County had 19 schools that earned A's, 15 with B's, and 3 with C's. Some new information on that double fatality pedestrian crash over the weekend in Perdido Key. The driver of the vehicle that hit the two 20-year-old Alabama pedestrians as they were crossing the road was driven by a sheriff's deputy that was apparently leaving an off-duty job. The victims were identified as a man from Hoover and a woman from Calera. Both died at the scene of that crash on Perdido Key Drive near River Road. FHP is still investigating the accident. The deputy was not hurt during the incident. President Trump's tax cut and spending bill was officially signed into law last week. Florida's District 1 Congressman Jimmy Patronis says it includes funding to ramp up community care for local veterans.
And you get those critics out there, though. We don't want more community care. We want more VA care. Well, community care is giving the benefit to the veteran at the comfort of their own home, going to their own hospitals, their own physicians. We're just trying to get people from having to wait 8 months to a year to get their services. We're trying to get that wait list knocked down.
And Patronis says the Trump administration and VA Secretary Doug Collins have focused on getting veterans into the community care system so they can get their needed care as soon as possible. Patronis says some providers actually reached out to him personally and said they had openings and would be happy to provide care for veterans. Although reactions from some of our local veterans are mixed on whether they would prefer going into the VA's community care system or just have services expanded at VA facilities. Well, getting hungry while you're out on a boat might become a thing of the past soon. This report from News Radio's Chris Bryan.
Have you ever been at sea and craved a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich or nuggets? Now, there's a unique way to get it delivered in Destin. On Crab Island, hungry boaters can now get their chicken fix delivered by boat. The boat has a red flag that says Chick-fil-A. Oh, by the way, the service does not deliver chicken sandwiches on Sunday since Chick-fil-A is always closed on Sunday. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Well, Rick Scott, now part of an effort to get a citizenship question included on the census. Senator Scott and others yesterday introducing the Equal Representation Act, which would require the Census Bureau to include a question on citizenship on all future censuses. Scott said the goal is to make sure non-citizens are not counted in the Electoral College and congressional district apportionment. It is 5:35 here at News Radio 92.3. We've got 79 degrees. It is clear and a beautiful morning. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Trump administration is delaying mandates that would have forced steelmakers U.S. Steel and Cleveland Cliffs to cut toxic emissions, drawing industry praise and environmentalist dismay. A July 1st order from the Environmental Protection Agency postpones until April of 2027 stricter emission standards for the country's integrated steel mills, all of which are run by the two companies. South Korea's Samsung Electronics has forecast a 56% fall in profits for the second quarter as the company struggles to capture demand from artificial intelligence chip leader NVIDIA. Shares of Samsung Electronics fell by more than 1% following the release of the earnings estimate. Waymo said it will begin testing in Philadelphia the company's latest efforts to try and expand into northeastern cities. The company will begin road trip testing from summer through the fall. Waymo last month announced plans to drive vehicles manually in New York for testing. Futures are mixed after President Trump's tariff announcement. That's Your Money Now.
Not all service companies are created equal. Hi, this is Judy Lacey with Barbary Plumbing, and we're proud to say we're a local, family-owned small business serving our community for over 50 years. In 1972, my dad, Louis Barbary, started this company with a vision of providing the best quality service with honesty and integrity for the community. Small businesses are the heart of America, and when you support a locally owned small business, you help to keep your community strong. We are not one of those plumbing franchise companies that will charge you an arm and a leg. At Barbary Plumbing, we always use the flat rate pricing so you know exactly how much the job will cost before the work begins. No franchise fee to pass along. You may not need a plumber today, but when you do, call Pensacola's best plumber, Barbary Plumbing, at 477-8782. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.
License number RF1106-7749.
Looking for a local shop that carries Michelin tires that you can trust? In Pensacola, that place is Tire Trust. Downtown on the corner of Gregory and Balin, Tire Trust has been taking care of people in Pensacola for over 23 years. Featuring the Michelin line, Tire Trust prides themselves on service you can trust. Tire Trust is more than a tire store. They're a full-service shop taking care of all your automotive needs. For service you can trust in Michelin tires, put your trust in Tire Trust.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
trying to make structural reforms that make these programs stronger and make them be able to actually last and be there for the people who need that assistance. We want these to be, we want them to be safety nets, not hammocks that people stay in, but getting people on their feet so that they can achieve the American dream. That's what they were intended for. And Jake, that's what we have an obligation to do, is preserve them for the very people who they were meant to serve.
You know, Katie Britt is just great. And, you know, she did this interview with State of the Union Jake Tapper on CNN. It's not this past weekend, but I think it was actually maybe even, 1 week ago. That's right. But I thought it was such a great explanation when she was talking about the Trump bill, the tax and spend bill, where she said, look, everybody's talking about people losing their Medicaid and people and talking about losing SNAP. In both of these cases, you're putting, you know, an emphasis on eligibility because you're trying to cut back on the waste where you don't need to be spending. You're trying to make sure that it stays there for the future to give to these people who really need it. This is how you save these programs instead of thinking of this as some horrible anti-humanitarian thing. And I thought that was a really good explanation for it. Joining us now, Jimmy Petronis. He is our congressman for District 1, the great state of Florida. Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. We need to send Katie Britt out to message everything.
Yeah, you know, Katie Britt, she's from Enterprise, Alabama, and she's got a lot of love for Northwest Florida simply because that's where all of Alabama comes to when they have a breaking moment to get away from the state to vacation, they come down and visit. So she's a great ally and a good friend to have.
If you know, it's surprising to me. I think there's been so little effort to really explain the SNAP and Medicaid portions of this bill from the Republican perspective. It's like the whole narrative is how it's throwing people out of food stamps and health care. And I mean, I just don't really hear much effort to explain it.
No, look, when Hakeem Jeffries decided to go on for 9 hours of gibberish so he would have his new record, I went back to the office in the middle of the night and I was just answering phones because the calls were coming in. I thought, you know what? This is a healthy thing to do. Sit down and I'll answer the phone. And there were some interns in there who would be answering the phones. And the misinformation that was being distributed by the Democrats regarding Medicaid was so far from what the real truth was. What we're trying to do is, if you're not eligible, then you should be getting access to the benefits, because there's those out there that truly need it. And this is a way we have a program that is for those who are truly eligible and entitled to use it, and it makes it more sustainable.
You know, I wanted to talk with you a little bit about the military slice of this. Of course, this is a big piece that we care about, but being both a military community and also having all these bases locally. I learned something over the weekend that honestly it stunned me just because I didn't know it. I feel like over the last week, I've learned so many things I did not know. Part of what is being celebrated in this bill is a massive funding for the VA, around $400 billion. And the military funding, of course, is adding $150 billion to push up almost to a trillion, not quite to a trillion. The part that I didn't know, and I just feel ignorant that I didn't know this, is I always assumed that VA funding was within the defense budget. I had no idea that they were separate things. And because of that, you know, I mean, VA funding to me is military funding, right? It's taking care of the warriors afterwards. And so that means that Department of Defense and VA combined are like a $1.3 trillion budget.
Well, that's a lot of resources that will be making its way to Northwest Florida. But you got a secretary of the VA, so they have their own silo, their own budget, their own administration. So this is why, you've got those two different line items in the budget. But, you know, there's going to be definitely an emphasis put on community care. And you get those critics out there that, oh, we don't want more community care. We want more VA care. Well, community care is given the benefit to the veteran at the comfort of their own home, going to their own hospitals, their own physicians. We're just trying to get people from having to wait 8 months to a year to get their services. We're trying to get that wait list knocked down. So this is why, you know, the Trump administration and Secretary Collins have been so aggressive about wanting to get community care supercharged in order to get people the services they need as soon as possible.
As a theoretical philosophical, I completely agree. To me, it's like school choice vouchers. The money should follow the kid. The benefit should follow the veteran. My only concern is, and I just don't feel like I have a good enough on-the-ground grasp of this, is does it really work in practice? Do veterans really get the treatment? Is there enough capacity to handle the veterans who then go to the private care?
So, I mean, when I started speaking towards a hospital solution, any of a number of solutions on the campaign trail, you'd have any of a number. I had a lot of providers reach out to me and say, Jimmy, look, we've got capacity. If you will give us access to community care, we will provide the services. So you get in a fight because the Biden administration was not a big fan of community care. They liked growing the bureaucracy of the VA. And look, the VA has a lot of amazing people that work in its organization, but there's just too much demand for what that organization can provide. So let's knock down the wait list. The same thing happened in Florida years ago with the agency for with individuals with persons with disabilities. We had a wait list that was over 25,000 people deep. So we had to throw a significant amount of money at it just to get people those services so they could get back to a normal life. This is no different what we're doing with the VA.
The one thing I'm just, and pardon me, I don't know the answer to this. I love the fact that there's so much money in the bill for shipbuilding. I'm a big fan. Obviously, there's a lot of things in our military that I'm very excited about. The ongoing theme that I hear every time we talk about military funding is how bad it is to have these concurrent resolutions, to have these continuing resolutions where they never know what to budget from year to year, and how much that costs them because they can't make long-term plans. Has this bill done anything to fix that?
Yeah, so we put almost a year's worth of work, and this predated me, into the particular budget package we had. So we had, I think it was, ideally you want 12 individual budget bills. I think we were at 6 so far this go around. So where it was just to continue, just raise the credit card limit and just keep on moving. This is where Speaker Johnson is still committed on working to get to that point. You had so much pressure, though, put from the administration because the president just got off the campaign trail with no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, all the benefits for our seniors. And those are things that he wanted to deliver on. So you got the president who is just wearing us out to get it out as soon as possible. And rightly so, the sooner that we pass the bill, the sooner our citizens can realize those tax savings. Okay. So yeah, you just literally don't physically have enough time. The Democrats on one of those budget bills, they kept our members tied up for over 24 hours just making amendments to try to derail it. So this is what makes it so frustrating to try to do a 12 bill budget resolution. Is you get the Democrats that are going to use every trick in the book, and it's unfortunate. The only person that we're harming are those taxpayers that don't want to pay any tax on tips, don't want to pay tax on overtime. These are what are all tied up together ultimately at the end of the day.
And last question on all this, Jimmy, is there's $1 trillion a year deficit spending still. We raised the debt limit by $5 trillion. I mean, it's just these numbers are incomprehensible to most people. And if we continue to run this way, of course, we cannot continue to run this way. What's the solution? How do we solve that? How do we get that trillion a year almost deficit under control?
Well, this is another thing in the first round of Trump tax cuts back in 17, 18, 19, where the CBO said, you're going to have, trillions of dollars in deficit spending. We actually had the exact opposite. We had trillions of dollars of new revenue for the country. This is the same type of business model we've used on this particular package as we did on the last one. When you give those businesses the comfort from extending the Trump tax cuts, when you give our citizens the comfort that they're not going to have more dollars in their pocket because they're not going to be going towards tips on overtime or tips tax on tips, those dollars go back into the economy. So, again, I know the scoring has forced us to take out that additional money in order to bring this these tax cuts online. But I'm a big believer that Trump was right, that these will continue to grow our economy, and you'll see a narrative that will come out to undermine the concerns of people of extending the debt limit.
you know, switching from talking about trillions of dollars and hundreds of billions of dollars to talking about $150,000, it's been interesting to me to watch how people can really grasp a very small, very particular thing. The DeSantis vetoes, I mean, he vetoed the bleep out of Alex Andrade's budget bill. Like, I mean, he just gutted. If it had Alex's name on it and it didn't have Don Gates' name on it, it got vetoed. The one that has really caught a lot of people's attention was the $150,000 to the Santa Rosa County Veterans Treatment Court, which I think is a wonderful program. It's a very inexpensive way to help divert some veterans and help them really get, you know, what they need instead of putting them in jail, which is not a great place for them to be. But you and I were chatting a little bit before we got on the air. People have been blowing up your phone about this.
Yeah, I mean, people have been calling me regarding the veterans treatment veto. And look, I don't know why the governor vetoed that $150,000. The treatment courts have shown to truly be a good safe haven for those that need to be able to have a little bit of a different protocol, discipline, pathway in order to get themselves stable. And if they didn't have such a good track record, I can understand the governor vetoing it. But, you know, folks, as I say, when the governor vetoes money, it stinks, but it's gone. Okay, the only way that money is coming back is the legislature has to reconvene. They have to take that particular budget item up, and they have to have enough votes, a two-thirds majority of both chambers, to then override the governor's veto. There may be an appetite to look at that if the legislature decides to reconvene. I think the veterans treatment idea was a good one, but I would, if I were you, I would demand to know why it was vetoed. I don't know if there was actually a veto letter attached to that particular line item by the governor, but you know, the governor's office does make screw ups. They may have literally been fixated on the name Andrade and not really looked at what the subject matter was. There's a possibility. I hope that wasn't the case, and it probably wasn't the case. But you need to definitely let the governor's office know how important that line item was. It was $150,000 out of a multi-billion-dollar budget. It's not a significant amount of money.
A thousandth? No, it's a millionth. I think of the budget. It's some crazy teeny tiny slice of the budget. And
it's a thimbleful.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing.
The legislature, they set money on fire, and here's one that actually has a pretty good outcome.
Yeah, right? And as unfortunately, I hate to believe it, but I do believe it. It's because the governor is angry at Alex for raising the questions he raised about the Hope Florida Foundation, and you know, he thinks this is payback. And I'm like, yeah, but it's not hurting Alex. He's not for re-election. It's hurting the veterans in Santa Rosa County who aren't getting the treatment, and that's why it's completely inexplicable. Jimmy, talking again to Jimmy Patronis, our congressman, I did want to give you a minute to talk about what's going on in Texas. I mean, horrible tragedy, of course. I mean, awful, but it also raises, you know, questions about FEMA and who should be running the response and all of this. But, you know, carte blanche, your chance to talk. What do you want to say?
Yeah, so Florida's already sent crews over there. We will basically send our urban search and rescue teams that have Zodiacs. And it's amazing the type of work those men and women do once they hit the ground running. These massive rain systems, the flooding takes place for days. So it's not as bad the day the rain hits. It's worse days after the rain has passed because all the water has to go to a lower elevation and it creates a flood event. But over 80 people right now, the count was of this morning, that have lost their lives. And 28 of those were kids. I mean, it's just heartbreaking. There was a camp there in harm's way. FEMA's going to be more and more, at least in my opinion, in the future. It's going to be simply just a resource provider. The states are going to have to start to be a little more aggressive in their infrastructure build out and regarding to the response. And the federal government will cut the check. What we'll have to determine is what the federal government cuts the check for. The states, to me, are just going to be more nimble to respond to a disaster, because when something like this happens, FEMA does what they have to. They have to go hire people.
Right.
And a lot of times the people that they go hire are not, you know, experienced in disasters. They're just warm bodies to answer people's questions or help people process forms. It's a challenge as we see these disasters start to become more impactful.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I mean, saw all the inefficiencies that go along with FEMA, the delays, the double, triple, fourth time, quadruple checking to prevent fraud, which I understand, but also it just gets in the way of the response at the same time. It's kind of the all of it. Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman from District 1. Congressman, thank you so much for the time. As always, we'll look forward to talking to you again next week, sir.
Thanks, Andrew. Take care.
And by the way, this is a conversation I had yesterday with Jimmy, but one of the other things that I got a lot of feedback on veterans from was that it's hard to say that there's an overall it works, it doesn't work by sending veterans into the private care, because it can very much depend, A, on the individual doctor provider, obviously, but it can also depend very much on what's the nature of the care needed, what's the nature of the treatment needed. You know, every kind of care, you know, whether it's, I don't know, from emergency care to GP care to, you know, rehabilitation to trauma for your brain care, like each category of medical care, you know, if you have a really deep availability in the community for that particular kind of care, then veterans are going to benefit from going to private care. If you already have a stressed, you know, inadequate supply of that particular specialty in the private community, sending a bunch of veterans, adding a bunch of demand into an already stressed supply isn't going to help, right? And that's one of the challenges you have is, you know, it seems like a great idea. Let's just push them all into the private care, but it doesn't always work out that way. And that's why if somebody might have great results getting eye care, it might get terrible results getting orthopedic care, like because they're different, right? 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Dales Marine Construction is passionate about creating waterfront structures and shoreline protections. Whether it's a small individual project or a large-scale corporate design, Dales Marine works hard to help you create a plan that satisfies your needs or wants for the space. From small residential docks and piers to large marinas and seawalls, Dales Marine, licensed and insured in Santa Rosa and Escambia County, the area's leader and expert in marine construction for over 30 years and proud sponsor of the Blue Angels.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care this morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
It's the 2025 Blue Angels Air Show at the beach.
And you can hear the narration right here on News Radio 92.3. Bring your radio and tune in on Friday at 2. And then on Saturday starting at 11 to hear the narration from the News Radio team. Plus insights from former Blue Angels boss, Captain Greg McWherter. This Blue Angels broadcast is brought to you by Dales Marine Construction, Buggy Works, Marine Max, Patriotic Paving, and Gulf Coast Air Tours.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Anyone who's an enemy of evil is a friend of mine.
Mandingo, how I grok your mouth music.
Oh, my goodness. Patrick Warburton, Putty from Seinfeld as the Tick live action, is one of my all-time favorites. The perfect voice for that comic book character. 559 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens is here, and he's not who I'm talking to. David Wayne is in the newsroom with with our headline or two, David.
Well, I am glad that John Pickens is here. Here's a headline. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and his agency are being sued over vaccine recommendations. That lawsuit was filed yesterday in a federal court by a number of medical groups, and it comes after Kennedy fired members of a vaccine panel and pulled a recommendation that children and pregnant women get a COVID vaccine. The lawsuit wants the recommendation reinstated.
And I'm also glad you're here, David.
Oh, well, thank you.
But I am just glad John's here.